Turn your Bibles, if you would, tonight, Philippians chapter number 1. Philippians chapter number 1. And I want you to find, if you would, please, verse number 19. Philippians chapter number 1 and verse number 19. Paul's in prison, and he begins writing. He said, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation." He's talking here about his physical deliverance from jail. Whenever you see the word salvation in the Bible, you need to realize it's a general term that means to rescue from danger or to deliver. And so here, as we look within the context, it's not a deliverance from hell or a spiritual deliverance, but it's a physical deliverance as he's imprisoned. And now he's praying, and he's praying to and asking this, writing to the Philippian church, and he's telling them, he's saying, "Listen, I know, I have no doubt that this shall turn, that this is going to be the outcome of my salvation and deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, and that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me," he says, I can't say about Timothy, "and I can't talk or speak for Luke or for Silas, but for to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain." Let's pray and ask God to help us tonight. Father, as we bow before you in these minutes, I pray that the Spirit of God might be our teacher. I pray, Lord, that you'll guide my mind and my heart as you place these verses, as the testimonies were taking place, upon my heart. And Father, I believe you want this church to be your magnifying glass. That you want each believer's body to be a lens through which others might see you. Lord, help us not to live for ourselves, but for the one who died for us and rose again. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Paul's writing in the book of Philippians, and he's challenging this church. He's going to talk to them about striving together. Notice, if you would, down in verse 27, he said, "Only let your conversation, your lifestyle, be as it becometh," or "is fitting," or "honors the gospel of Christ. That whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Now, I believe that Paul here is talking about the unifying effect of fulfilling God's will and God's desire for our lives individually and for our church, for a church collectively. He said that we're to stand fast in one spirit with one mind. That speaks to me of unity. That speaks of oneness of direction, oneness of desire. It speaks to me of oneness of action, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Now, whenever I think of the two words, striving together, immediately something comes to my mind. It is my grandfather telling me about how, and I've never done it, but he talked about how at one time we used to have, we had a Jubilee, a 50-something Jubilee tractor that had horses under the hood, but he had horses that he actually plowed with. How many of you plowed with mules or horses? You know exactly what I'm talking about. And you would put those mules or those horses, you would put the yoke on them or put them in the traces, and you would say whatever you're supposed to say, and boy, those two horses in tandem would begin to pull on that plow or whatever it was, and they begin to put that plow into the ground, and you know, you got that thing going, you would turn some earth and you would get that field ready to be planted. And so they were striving together. But I'm going to tell you something, you've had a problem if one horse was wanting to gee and the other was wanting to haul. Okay, y'all with me? All right? If you G, you're going one direction. You haul, you're going in a different direction. And if one's trying to G while the other one's trying to haul, and you're wanting to go forward, you're not going to get a whole lot of plowing done. And can I tell you tonight, if God's wanting us to go one way and we're going a different way, we're not going to get a whole lot done for the Savior. Amen? And we don't need to be G-ing and hauling when God's wanting us to go forward for Him, and we need to strive together for the faith of the gospel. Now, how do we do that, preacher? We find that in verse number 20. Would you look at verse number 20. Notice he says in the latter part of it, he said, "As always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death." Paul's getting ready to say, you know what, I'm in a strait. He said, I'm in a place of indecision. He said, I'm in prison and the outcome of this could be death. He said, I could physically be martyred for my faith and it result in the fact that I'd be taken to heaven. He said, well, that's a desirous thing and a good thing. But he said, I'm in a place of indecision in the sense that I'm not sure whether I'm gonna stay here and be with you or I'm gonna go to heaven, which is far better. But here's what he said. He said, my remaining here is needful. But then he says this, whether I'm with you or without you, whether it is by life or by death, it's my desire that Christ be magnified in my body. Now you know what? Magnifying glass is a wonderful thing. It is a great toy. You know what? Now, listen, I want to help you understand something. There was a time when people didn't have Mario and Xbox. I understand, young people, honest, there was a time that you didn't have all those things that imagined for you. You actually had to use your imagination. You had to think. I mean, it was amazing. People could take a rim and a stick and play all day with it. A bicycle rim. Play all day with that. Y'all are looking at me like a calf stared at a new gate. Well, it's true. We actually could do that. I mean, man, a stick could be all kinds of things. I could play cowboys. I could play army. And all I had was a stick. I didn't have to have anything else. You know what I'm saying? And you're doing all kinds of stuff, and you got that stick, and there's just all kinds of stuff you could do. But boy, if you got a magnifying glass, you could take that magnifying glass. Look at Bill. You got that magnifying glass. You could take that magnifying glass, and you do all kinds. Now, I don't recommend you do this at home. But it can catch the sun. Well, you could start a fire with a magnifying glass. I don't recommend parents that you do this at home. But you could start fire with a magnifying glass. You can burn a hole in your tennis shoe with a magnifying glass. You get a spanking when you get home because you had a magnifying glass. You kill bugs with a magnifying glass. You do all kinds of stuff. I mean, you do all kinds of stuff with a magnifying glass. I mean, it's an amazing toy. Amazing treasure when you got a magnifying glass. Do you know what that magnifying glass did? Boy, you would look at stuff like that and things would get big and they'd come real close to you. See, the purpose of that magnifying glass was to magnify your ability to see. Now, you know what? The reality of it is, it didn't make the object it was magnifying any bigger. Not really. I mean, it stayed the same size. But it magnified it. And it brought it nearer and made it larger through that glass so you could see it more clearly. You know what Paul's saying? He said, it doesn't matter whether I live or whether I die. He said, I want my body to be God's magnifying glass. He said, I want my life and my body and how I live to be used of God to make Jesus larger and bring Him nearer so that people can see Him in me. You know what? When you go out your house tomorrow, God wants you to be His magnifying glass. Young person, when you walk out your door to go to school, God wants you to be His magnifying glass. If you walk in the living room and have school, God wants you to be His magnifying glass, alright? Hey, wherever you go, whatever you're doing, God wants you to magnify Him. He wants you to live in such a way that people, it brings Him closer and makes Him larger so that the world can see Him better because He is who they need. Can I tell you, friend, it's more than just bringing people to church on Friend Day. It's more than just putting out 24,000 invitations in our community or 30 saying, listen, we want you to come to Calvary. It's far more than that. Friend, we want them to come to the Savior and know the salvation that you and I know tonight because thank God He's still in the saving business. Amen? I'm glad that Jesus died so that sinners like you and me could be saved. And there were testimonies on the video tonight. And you know what? When I give my offering for the buses in the offering plate, I recognize tonight I'm not just giving to a yellow school bus. I'm not just giving so we can have a bus ministry. I'm not just giving so that I can give to the church. Oh no, absolutely not. Friend, listen, every time I put my tithe in the offering plate, every time I put my offering in the offering plate, every time I put my missions giving in the offering plate, I am giving to God through this local church to make a difference in the lives of men, women, boys, and girls at home, in our community, and around the world for Jesus Christ. That's what we're giving for. Can I tell you, God wants this church to be His magnifying glass. There's people that, listen, I'm going to be honest with you, what they know of God is very little. They don't know that there's a Savior that died for them, was buried and rose again. They don't know that God loves them. Matter of fact, in their mind, that's the farthest thing, but because of how their lives are and the decisions they've made, in their mind, God couldn't love them. But can I tell you, we're His magnifying glass that says, listen, look at what God's done for us. Look where we were and where God's brought us to. And we're His magnifying glass so that they can see Christ more clearly and what He wants to do in their life and can do in their life because they need Him. Listen, we are just the channel. You and I are just the bridge to bring men, women, boys and girls in contact with the living God so that they can have a divine encounter with Jesus Christ that will forever change their lives. That's what this is all about. So Paul says in verse number 21, for to me, to live is Christ. Now here's what I want you to do. For to me, to live, you fill in the blank. When you write down on the piece of paper or in your heart's mind for you to live, what is your passion? What is it you're pursuing? What is it that's so great in your life, Christian? When Paul would say for to me, I can't say for anybody else, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Young person, you'll never live for anyone greater than Jesus Christ. Your family will never honor anyone greater than Jesus Christ. You can never have a better hero in your life, so to speak. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. For to me to live, for you, me to live is to make money and then die and leave it all behind. For me to live is to be a great athlete or to be famous only later to be forgotten. Who's famous today is forgotten tomorrow. Oh, I can list the name of the great athletes or the singers or the movie actors of the past and you're like, huh? Who's that? Because you know what? They fade. There's only one life to live. It'll soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. That's it. For to me, to live is Christ. And to die is gain. To die is gain. Friend, can I tell you, we're the winners either way. Either way, we win. In this life, we're the winner. And in the life to come, we're the winner. You see, in Jesus, you can't lose. Isn't that a blessing? You can't lose. Greatest decision you'll ever make in your life, if you don't know Him, is to come to know Him. I was going to preach tonight in a different area. I was going to finish this morning's message. Instead, I'll finish it next Sunday. Well, the Sunday after that. But one of the things that struck me was this. The fact that God loves me. Do you know that was foreign to the Philippians and the Thessalonians and the people at Colossae and the people at Corinth in that day? As a matter of fact, do you realize that is foreign to all the other religions of the world? I was preaching a couple of weeks ago and I made this statement. It really was impactful in England the other week because there's so much influence of world religions in that country. It's become such a melting pot because of the immigration and the refugees in that area. And we said that, and made the statement that no other religion, but see, the world wants you to think all religions are equal. Doesn't matter how we all get there, we're all going to one place, and doesn't matter what you call God, it doesn't matter, it's one God, and He's got many names, and there's many ways to get there, and that's the greatest lie that Satan's ever concocted. Because here's what they want to say. They want to say all religions are the same, it don't matter which one, whichever one works for you is the right way. But you know what? That's not what the Bible teaches. And no other religion on the face of the earth says that the people who adhere to that religion are in their God. The Buddhists never claimed that the followers of Buddha are in Buddha. The Islamists never claimed that the people who follow the Prophet Muhammad and adhere to the tenets of Islam and worship Allah are in Allah. The followers of Confucius, it never says that they're in Confucius. But those who receive Jesus Christ, the Bible says they are in Christ. It is a living, vibrant relationship with the living God. I'm going to take you one step further. When these people, see, it's nothing for us to sit in here tonight and me to say, God loves you, because you know what? The majority of you from a child have been told, God loves you, God loves you, God loves you. But yet I can tell you there's boys and girls and teenagers that are within a stone's throw of this church that they've never heard God loves them. But I'll take you further than that. No other religion on the face of the earth claims that their God loves them. The gods of the Philippians didn't love them. They didn't understand when Paul said, God loves you, and the love of God, it was like, huh? God loves me? No, my God's mad at me. My God's angry with me. My God wants to destroy me, and I've got to appease my God. Do you know what? Allah never claims to love the followers of Islam. Buddha never claims to love the followers of Buddhism. But Jesus Christ not only loves those that follow Him, He loves those that don't follow Him. He said, I so loved the world. Wow. God loves you. And He wants you to know and love Him. And if we know Him, let's love Him and let's magnify Him so that people see Him in us. And folks, we've got a great opportunity to do that this week. On the job, out in the community, and on Friend Day. Because people need to see the Lord. Amen. Let's magnify Him. Let's be His Let's get up in the morning and say, God, help me to be Your magnifying glass today that people can see You in me. Let's do that. Let's bow our heads in prayer.